Attitude Broadcasting presents BSS Carolina with your host, Rocky JPP. Not only are you a giant, but you are a dummy giant.
Giant dummy.
You'll be in the same unemployment line as Steve Clifford. New job. Release Roberts. Linsanity's a hornet.
Look at all those hockey experts.
Easy.
You know who the next Jordan is?
LeBron.
It's not his fault.
Maybe it's just because I like playing devil's advocate.
Never again.
Hall of Famer.
Tannehill.
Game over.
Don't worry, I'll wait.
We've all said it. None of us are hockey experts. I guess we are. We're beating hockey experts.
And big shots.
PJ Harrison. Rudy Gobert.
JPP.
What a ding-a-ling.
Linsanity.
I said better. I didn't say good.
Roy Hibbert.
What a ding-a-ling. If Duncan gets the 7 rings, not his fault. With Jordan,
you got plenty of money. Get you a driver.
Bump that. Side pieces. Ronda Rousey.
You can listen to the show on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, and iHeartRadio. And follow us on Twitter at BSS Carolina. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to BSS Carolina's on Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. I am, of course, Rocky, the host of BSS Carolina. Is joining me today is beautiful Big Shot. You know, his nice suit and tie.
Had to put it on, get the professional look on. What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Glad to be in the studio.
You feeling okay today?
Man, I'm still steaming, disappointed, happy for Peyton Manning. Congratulations to the Denver Broncos and all the Broncos fans. Your defense was amazing this year. And, you know, every week when we talked about our top three and talked about Denver, first words out of our mouth,
defense. Their
defense was awesome. Their defense is a championship defense. And they showed up Sunday. They looked amazing. So, congratulations.
Yeah, first and foremost, congratulations to the Broncos winning. You won the Super Bowl. It was the ugliest win ever. I mean, it was one of the ugliest Super Bowl victories, I think, ever. Carolina handed them the Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says. I know Von Miller had a great game. But going through the miscues, the offsides, I mean, multiple offsides penalties against Rimmers and Orr, I think. But then you had the personal foul penalties. I understand some of the fouls, the penalties may have been bad, but you can't let it come down to penalties. You had fumbles. You had overthrown passes by Cam Newton. You had a lot of drops. All the weaknesses that we talked about earlier for the Panthers came back to haunt them in a game finally. All season long, they kind of masked it until with the play calling and stuff. But Mike Shula, you, sir, that was the worst play calling game I have ever seen you call. There was at least 8 first down play calls of running up the middle. And I understand their best running attacks is up the middle. We didn't see no screens. What usually offsets blitzes? Screen passes.
And
We didn't see any.
And we know Stewart got hurt early in the game when he got his leg twisted from under him. Whitaker went out of the game hurt. Tolbert couldn't hold on to the football. Now, if it was a fried pig skin in his hand, you know, he would have held on no problem.
Well, and don't forget, Corey Philly Brown went out with an injury.
With a concussion.
You know.
And Cameron Artis Payne wasn't even active. Was not active.
Why didn't we bring an extra running back then? I mean, we need, you know, that guy from preseason, that was the preseason all-star, the Panthers.
Why didn't we line Joe Webb up in the backfield?
Why not?
We weren't getting anything else.
In the second half, they didn't make any adjustments. It was like, okay, this is what we're doing.
We're going to stick with it.
Yeah, we'll stick
with it. Like, okay, we are getting manhandled by the blitz. We got to do something. Where were the quick throws? Where are the 3-step drops? Where are the bubble screens? Get the ball out of Cam's hands. Help him out.
You know, he had 6 carries, 43 yards rushing. After the third quarter, he didn't run.
He couldn't run. He was getting swallowed.
Well, no, there was like no design runs is what I'm saying. Like, there was no design runs. There was no nothing. There was no bootlegs. There was nothing. It was like, let him stay in the pocket and continue get killed. Let him stay in the pocket and get killed.
I mean, they needed to roll him out. I felt like if they would have went to some more quick throws, that would have helped them out tremendously, you know, because the corners were already playing up because they respected Brown and Ginn's speed. You could have took three-step drops and hit slants and quick throws all game.
Oh, they were open. And don't tell me they weren't open. There was a lot of plays where I saw Ted Ginn was open, Court Philly Brown was open. Everybody was open, and we didn't throw the ball. I'm just like, you know,
we missed a lot of good throws. A lot of throws that could have. There were points. I mean, Ginn was first quarter. Ginn was wide open on the first drive. He got it overthrown his head by 10 feet.
We had one deep pass the whole game, and that was the one that Philly Brown went up and got hurt.
Yeah,
we didn't throw it deep any. And the one thing you can beat Denver is the deep pass. We didn't throw it deep. I know Cam didn't have a lot of time, but. Man, the play calling was garbage. Anyway, you know, talking about the Super Bowl, Denver ended up winning 24-10. Von Miller was named MVP with 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles that led to touchdowns. Cam was 18 of 41. He started out 1 of 7 for 265, an interception, 2 fumbles. Coney Ealy was the Panthers player of the game, 3 sacks and a pick. Great interception, by the way. C.J. Anderson had 23 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown, and the Broncos had 7 sacks. You look at Cam Newton, he started out 1 of 7. There was no design quick routes for him to throw to get him going. The reason he's been so dangerous all season, he's got off on a fast start,
mm-hmm.
something fast, and he keeps going because he's a streaky thrower. We all know that. Why not call some slants? Why not call some screens to offset the blitzes? And they didn't call any.
And they didn't do anything to help Greg Olsen get open.
No.
It's like move him around. Move him off the line of scrimmage. Line him up as a wide receiver.
Why not motion him out to the outside?
They made it too easy to guard, defend Greg Olsen. And we needed a big game from Greg Olsen. And we needed huge numbers from our running game. And we got neither. Neither. And we couldn't hold on to the football.
No. I mean, Stewart had a fumble that we got back.
Luckily. Tolbert had a fumble, 2 fumbles. Yeah. We got one of them back.
It showed up huge in the Super Bowl where their weaknesses are. It did, big time. Rimmers had a great season, but that Super Bowl, man.
He had an all right season, but Cam took sacks. Majority of the time, it was from Rimmer's side. And I was so fearful of this. I mean, going into the Super Bowl, I was so frustrated. I was like, why is everybody on Carolina's bandwagon all of a sudden? All year it was, Carolina's the worst undefeated 4-0 team in the league. Wait till they go to Seattle. They beat Seattle. Oh, they got lucky in Seattle. Wait till Green Bay comes to town. They're going to get handled by Green Bay. They beat Green Bay. Wait till they go to Dallas. Tony Romo is back on Thanksgiving. They're going to get smashed in. And when they finally lose to Atlanta's, oh, now it's going to lead to a slide. They won't carry it into the playoffs. And then when we get to the playoffs, Arizona's still the best team in the conference. They're going to smash them. And then the week of the Super Bowl is now Carolina is the best team ever. They are the 7-point favorite in the Super Bowl. I'm like, keep doubting us. Why are y'all giving Denver more fuel to the fire?
Because that's what y'all wanted, though. The Panthers wanted. Saying the game was rigged. I don't believe that one bit. We beat ourselves. Absolutely. You beat yourself.
There were a couple bad calls.
Please.
A wild pack of baboons could have officiated the game better than those officials did on a few of those calls.
But one person, you can't tell. And when I heard somebody make this comment, the NFL wanted Denver to win the Super Bowl, I was like, are you serious? You don't want Cam Newton, 24, 25 years old, to win his first Super Bowl and go 17-1? No, 18-1? Come on. He's going to be the MVP. Cam Newton's going to be the face of this league for the next 10 years. And you don't want him to win his first Super Bowl?
They wanted the sentimental favorite to win.
No, no, no. Don't give me that. Come
they wanted
on,
their
dude.
Boy.
You can't say
Mr.
that.
Mr. NFL for the last 10 plus years. They wanted him to win the Super Bowl.
Big shout
go out to the
I
Super Bowl.
I love you, dude, but that is, come on, man. Seriously?
That's my story. I'm sticking to
that
it.
That is not the story. If you're a Panthers fan and you honestly believe they wanted Denver to win, you're out your mind. You're out your freaking mind because you want Cam Newton to win and be the face, the model, the everything of this league for the next 5 to 10 years. You do. You can't say you don't. Come on, man. Really? Come on.
There was
that's what you honestly believe?
No.
Come on.
We lost because Denver played well. Their defense played well. There was a couple of erroneous calls, though.
There was calls
that,
on both sides.
That
dude.
Hurt us a little bit.
It may have hurt, but you know, you can't let play call, you can't let the penalties determine the game. And y'all didn't. It was the miscues on the field.
Miscues.
It was the 61-yard punt return, the longest in history of Super Bowl. It was the quarterback not diving at the ball with 4 minutes left in the game.
The several
that could
drop
got,
passes.
The
there
drop
was at
passes.
Least 5 drop passes.
No, there were 6. But the drop passes,
the fumbles,
the bad
in the
play
game.
Calling, you know,
terrible
fumbles. I mean, everything just added up, and it was a total implosion of the team.
If we picked the right game to have the worst game of our season.
Absolutely,
we picked the right week, right?
And jeez. Say what you want. To me, this is one of the biggest upsets in Super Bowl history. To me, it was one of the biggest upsets.
I didn't really look
because
at it as an upset.
You went into this Super Bowl 17-1, playing a Denver Broncos team that you knew couldn't throw the ball deep. You knew they weren't throwing the ball much. Peyton only threw it 23 times.
I didn't really look at it as an upset because the Broncos have beaten Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady before they got to us. Their defense has been lights out all year.
No, it's been good. Don't get me wrong. But the defense could be beat. And somebody just reminded me, the terrible clock management going into halftime. They ran 30 seconds off the play clock, and it was horrible.
And I didn't understand the QB sneak to pick up the first down and then burned our last timeout, and then we threw and took a sack, and we had nothing to stop the clock with.
But
it's like throw the ball.
But Cam looked very – enlarged it very out of sync from the first quarter after that fumble on the whole game. There was no hurry in him in his step whatsoever. There was no, hey, let's get to the line, let's get the play call, let's do this. It was like, all right, we got it nice and easy. No, it's a Super Bowl.
It would have been totally different if Cotri comes up with that catch
maybe
on the 2-yard line and then they go in and score and it's 14-13 instead of him dropping it, and then the next play, T.J. Ward intercepts the football.
It could have been.
It would have been
it
totally
could have
different.
Been. I don't, you know, but it was just, you know, the sacks, everything added up. It was like,
I mean, it just wasn't meant to be. You know, it was Denver's day. They played, their defense played lights out. Manning in the running game did enough for their team to win the game. You know, and that's all they asked of Peyton Manning at this point. It's like, we got a top-flight defense that's playing lights out. Just don't screw it up for them.
We have talked about on this show, in the first half, the great coaches make adjustments in the second half. I didn't see any adjustments in the second half. It was the same game plan. And it was like, what are we doing? I mean, we got 10 points in a game. 10 points. There's no reason you only score 10 points. You had John Casey. Sorry, it seemed like John Casey because he missed a field goal. Graham Gano misses that field goal 44 yards. I would have went for it. I mean, it was a 44-yard field goal. It's 4th and 4. I know you need points, but, dude, that's a huge field goal you miss. I mean, it could have been, you know, 16-13 late in the fourth
quarter. I thought Tlaib was lined up offsides on that missed field goal, which we didn't get a flag for again.
Yeah. I know, but you can't wait on the flag.
We needed flags. We needed help. We were struggling.
But you shouldn't. It shouldn't have come down to a flag. It shouldn't have come down to a penalty. It should not come down to any of this situation.
Nah, let me stop. I got to give the devil their due. You know, the Denver Broncos, They played to win the game. They
yeah.
they made amends for 2 years ago when they got embarrassed in Super Bowl 48.
Let me give credit to C.J. Anderson. This guy, undrafted rookie a couple years ago, finally got on the field, and he's been hot and cold, but this year he's actually stepped up as a lead, as the lead back in the system, and he's had a good season. And then he goes to Super Bowl, he's got 90 yards rushing and a touchdown, two touchdowns actually. And, he played tough. He's a tough running back. That one big play when they were in their own end of the field at the 10, I think.
That 35-yard run?
Yeah, he pushed the Carolina defense down the field. You haven't seen that all year. Now, you've seen some runs where people's made long runs, but you haven't seen somebody drag Star or, Kawan Short down the field.
And you can't say our defense was tired because – we ran twice as many offensive plays as the Denver Broncos did.
If you were to ask me, Peyton, we only had 13 of 21 completions and 130, 40 yards in a pick, and he wins the game? Come on.
Like, what?
No way.
But that's what happened.
I
completed a two-point conversion at the end, but, that was pretty much irrelevant. They were already up two scores, and we weren't scoring anymore anyway.
And then late, after they scored that other touchdown, you're down 14 with a minute and a half left. You still got a shot, but the play, the Cam getting to the line to scrimmage, players staying in bounds instead of stepping out. There was a play, Stu got the ball going, he stayed in bounds. I'm like, dude, why are you not stepping out and trying to get some more time? I know it would be a miracle to happen, but have we not seen two Hail Marys this year in games?
We just needed a whole bunch at this point. We just need to score an onside kick, another long score real quick.
I felt like the team really was dominated in the first quarter, second quarter, and they gave up. It looked like they didn't give up, but they weren't in the game.
When they scored and made it 10-7, I was saying, okay, it looks like they're finally finding their footing. Maybe they can pull this out now. Maybe they found what they needed to do to get it going. And then they didn't put together another great drive after that.
No.
Just what happened? They just put together this great drive, scored a touchdown, looked like they could move the ball at will. Did not come together.
The third quarter, they had like 120 total yards compared to Denver, who had like 20, and they had 0 points.
They get to that 20-yard line and they would turn it over.
What's been the problem the last couple years in Carolina? The red zone offense. Well, it showed up this game.
They looked like they amended that until the Super Bowl, and we couldn't even get field goals.
No. If you're on Periscope, let us know who you think the MVP of the game should have been. Was it Von Miller or should it have been DeMarcus Ware? DeMarcus Ware had two sacks.
But for me, it was Von Miller.
Had to be Von.
In his first sack, he didn't even go to tackle Cam. He just tackled the football, like, give me the ball. And led to their opening touchdown.
Give me three reasons the Broncos won the game.
Defense. Those are the three reasons.
That's the three reasons.
Defense, and defense.
I'm going to say defense.
Wade Phillips, man. Wade Phillips was huge, too, man.
He called a great game plan. Wade Phillips was huge. I'm going to say defense, special teams, that punt return really helped.
It got him in field goal range, and McManus was awesome.
Yeah, and Mike Shula. Mike Shula is another reason. I can't stand Mike Shula, dude. I'm just saying. He improved so much, but – like I said last week, Trent Dilfer called Mike Shula a quarterback killer, when he was in Baltimore and everywhere else. And he's improved, but the biggest game ever, it was horrible.
Didn't show up.
Three reasons the Panthers lost.
Turnovers, miscues, and I think the lights were just too bright for this team. At this point, they came out and it looked like they got caught up in the moment.
Which is scary, because they going into the Super Bowl, they all dabbing, they all happy, they all, we're the team. And then
it's like, where did our swagger go?
Yeah, they lost the swagger.
What happened to the team that was taking them team photos, dabbing on everybody? Where was that team? Yeah. That was the team we needed to see, not that shell of a team that showed up in the, Santa Clara on Sunday.
That's the truth. For me, you know, offensive line, I'm just saying, wide receivers, and Mike Shula.
Mike Shula again.
I'm going Mike Shula everything this week. You know, after the game, and we talked about it before the show, what do you think of Cam Newton's press conference real fast? It's been so much said about it this week.
You know, with positions of fame and held to a higher standard and being put on a pedestal as an icon of America's game, you got to be gracious in losing. If you're it's great when you're having fun and you're celebrating and you're smiling, but you know, everybody takes it on the chin every once in a while. Peyton Manning has taken it on the chin. Tom Brady has taken it on the chin. John Elway took it on the chin 3 different times. Jim Kelly took it on the chin 4 straight Super Bowls. But they always came out and were gracious in defeat. We know you're a sore loser, Cam. We saw that a few years ago. But you just got to deal with the media, man. You got to, you know, try your best to answer the questions. Be as gracious as possible. You know, your father went on First Take 2 days before the Super Bowl and talked about how mature you became and how big of a part he played in your maturity. And then you didn't handle the presser after the game in the gracious, correct way. I'm glad that you're a sore loser. I was pissed. I know every Panther fan was pissed. But it is what it is. And I'm sure he's thought about it, and I know if it happens again, he will be able to handle it in a more gracious way.
And that's from a Panther fan, a huge Panther fan. I'm just saying. So as far as I go, I was listening to Mike and Mike today, and I'll give them credit. Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson's on the show, and T.O.'s on the show. And both of them say it was unprofessional. If T.O., of all people in the world, is saying a press conference is unprofessional, then it's unprofessional. I'm just saying, and that man's had some unprofessional press conferences, which, by the way, he doesn't regret any of them, he said. Not surprising. But he admitted it was unprofessional.
It would have been better if he would have broke down in tears and started crying and then walked away instead of just looking just really pissed, depressed, and handling it so ungraciously.
You know, and it's not even a fact. I wouldn't have cared. I'm not trying to transform Cam into somebody else. I want him to be who he is. Everybody in Charlotte wants him to be who he is. No one's trying to change him. But when you get – like I listen to Herm Edwards. If you never listen to Herm Edwards, listen to Herm Edwards. You're the starting quarterback of an NFL team. When you go into that press conference after the Super Bowl, the biggest game in all of sports in the whole world, when you go in that press conference, you need to lift up your team. Not just yourself, but they're looking you to be the leader and help lift them up, which means we'll be back next year. I guarantee you that. And, you know, this is who I am. You can be who you want to be, but lift up your team. I didn't feel that after that press conference. I felt, okay, Cam is – it looked like he was pouting during the press conference, like he was during the game. And that's just my opinion. You know, but you need to lift up your team. He did not lift up his team during that press conference. And that's my problem. And that's a lot of people's problem with Cam Newton. You going into the Super Bowl, you're dabbing all the time. You're doing this and that. You're dancing, which I have no problem with that. When you lose, you better get ready for the heat because it's coming. You know, I'm gonna pose this. I'm gonna ask everybody this question. If you're on Periscope watching us, you're listening to our show, tweet. If it was a Dallas Cowboy player, if it was Dez Bryant, if it was Tony Romo, how would you feel if they did that? You would hate their guts. I can't answer that question for you. You would hate them for doing it. That's the honest truth. You would hate Dallas. You would hate Tom Brady if he did that. I'm just saying. Anyway, I hope he learns from it. And, you know, it is a learning experience. People don't say it's not. It's a learning experience. Hopefully he'll be back and be better the next one.
If he can win the next one, then he won't have to worry about feeling like he felt on Sunday.
Exactly. Some other news. Did you watch – I'm assuming you watched the whole game. What's your best commercial with Super Bowl 50?
The Doritos commercial when the baby? Little baby. That was the best one, man. I love that. That commercial was off the chain.
I was going to mention that one, but I figured you might. I say Winter Dog, the Heinz.
I think I missed that. I might have been in the bathroom or something. I don't know.
But, yeah, the Doritos commercial was great. Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it. I liked it. You know?
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
She's like, give me that. Oh, no.
last week I asked our top five players in Super Bowl history and one coach. Do you have anybody?
For as far as coach, it's a couple.
Give me one. Who would you take to coach the team?
Bill Belichick.
Really?
Bill Belichick. I was leaning Chuck Knoll, but Bill Belichick has dealt with numerous changes and hasn't had the talent that those Pittsburgh Steelers teams had when they were rolling through teams in the 70s.
That's true.
So I'll take Bill Belichick. Top five Super Bowl players all time, Montana, Brady. Montana, Brady. Give me Bradshaw. I know he played on great teams. Bart Starr, you can't leave him off. He won the first two. And give me Broadway Joe. I'll take Broadway Joe.
Well, mine is a little bit different. Bill Walsh is my coach. And he's a 49ers coach. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm taking a 49ers coach. Bill Walsh, man, just many, many different Super Bowls. Jimmy Johnson's close second, but I'll go with Bill Walsh. Top five, number five, Troy Aikman. Number four, Tom Brady. Number three, Jerry Rice. Number two, Emmitt. And number one is Cool Joe. Montana is number one, man. I don't care where. Yeah, Joe Montana.
4-0 in Super Bowls, yeah, man.
You can't,
it speaks for itself.
You know, Brady's up there. Troy Aikman, you know, of course. But I had to go with Montana.
I mean, there's a lot of great players. Jerry Rice definitely deserves an honorable mention. I went Broadway Joe because that was the first time that an athlete had came out and guaranteed anything. And they were heavy underdogs to the Colts.
They were.
And he came out, and Broadway Joe just lifted the Jets to that title, man.
That's the truth. All right, let's go into enemy of the week.
You don't want to make an enemy out of me. And I'm looking right into the camera, and I'm going to say it again. You don't want to make an enemy out of me.
All right, who you got?
The NBA dunk contest. How come we can't get stars to compete in this competition? The roster for the three-point shooting contest is unbelievable. And then you come to the dunk contest, it's Andre Drummond and Will Barton and who else? Zach LaVine and Aaron. Well, Aaron Gordon, why? Why? Get some stars. Damn. I don't even want to watch the dunk contest. I want to see the three-point shooting contest. That's all I care to see Saturday night.
Will Barton is 6'5".
I don't care who wins the dunk contest. Nobody cares about the dunk contest. Zach LaVine, he'll put on a good show, great. But where are the stars? Where are the big-time NBA All-Stars that should be competing in this competition? Where is Russell Westbrook? Where is LeBron James? Come on.
Yeah, they have to work on getting people in this game. I don't in the All-Star stuff, man. They have to.
I mean, the rest of
Andrew Wiggins? Where's Andrew Wiggins?
He's from Toronto. Where is Andrew? And the rest of the weekend is great. You know, the world versus USA game.
The celebrity game is going to be great.
It's good. The celebrity game is good. The skills competition is good. That little 3-on-3 thing they do with the shooting is good. And we know the 3-point shooting contest is going to be amazing this year.
And we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show because we don't talk about NBA stuff.
The dunk contest just – it kills your buzz. Absolutely kills your buzz.
And this will be the last thing of the night, so which, you know, we'll see how that goes. For me, I got two. Actually, one, Mike Shula, once again. Your play calling is pathetic. Big time, and I mean pathetic. Can we let Ken Dorsey be the OC?
No.
Ken Dorsey would be OC.
No Ken Dorsey.
But Mike Shula, man, come on, that's one. Anyway, that's it for today's show. Make sure you stick around if you're on Periscope, watch the next show. Otherwise, catch us tomorrow. We'll have a new edition of The Breakdown. Anything?
And as always, sports is life.
And you can catch us anywhere. See you later.
Side piece. Simple.